to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hey, hey to our listeners. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Today, Deb and I are speaking with Roxana Herzog. Roxana is an energy medicine practitioner of more than 10 different healing modalities. Roxana was raised in Romania and emigrated to the United States at the age of 15. She was a top student and was awarded a full scholarship to the University of Massachusetts. But after a year, some big questions started to bubble up within her. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Roxana left school in search of, well, herself and reconnecting and remembering her true reason for being here. Aside from her energy healing practice, Roxana is also a colon hydrotherapy practitioner, a master trainer and coach of the Energy Codes by Dr. Sue Mortar, and, believe it or not, a ballroom dance instructor. Roxana has some really inspirational and exciting stories to share in the field of energy medicine. Things are shifting quickly in our world. So get comfy or get your earbuds in and let's get started. Welcome, Roxana.
Thank you so much. And it's so interesting to hear once life story in a short version from someone else's lips. I don't know that I've ever had that experience. And it's just, thank you for that.
Oh, good. I hope I did it justice.
You did more than justice. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well,
we're both very excited to have you here today.
Absolutely. Yes. So, okay. So you immigrated from Romania to the US at the age of 15. What was that like, and what were some of your interests at the time?
When I left Romania, it felt as if I was embarking on this amazing life journey. I was extremely excited. I wasn't nervous at all about leaving what one might call the comforts of home. It felt as if I was being called to be in the United States. At the time, I don't know that I realized or could articulate it in this way. However, it really was how I was feeling inside. And the journey itself to getting to the United States was eye-opening. And there were a lot of things that sort of fell into place within me as, oh, I do make a difference. I am important. I do matter. Things that I hadn't quite recognized until then. I was in a group of about 20 people that were all emigrating at the same time, families with children and couples and single people. And I was the only one that spoke English well enough to, at the airport in Italy, be able to communicate and find information on how we could all get around. So for a 15-year-old to be able to sort of recognize that, wait a minute, my skill in speaking English can help 20 people. Wow, I do make a difference. Was the first of many little self-awareness moments in my life that I can count on and recognize the value in that. Even landing on United States soil, for the moment I touched ground in the airport, inside of me, this voice said, "Ah, you're home."
Oh, and, wow.
It was like, wait a minute, I've never been here before. Where did that come from? And I can still remember it and feel that knowing. And it just, looking back, it all kind of fits together as to, I was tapping into, I remember as a child, seeing myself surrounded by people speaking English in my lifetime, mm-hmm. or somehow, and didn't know where that came from. But I think I was tapping into, or I know now I was tapping into my own creation of my destiny, so to speak, or recognizing that would be part of my life on a subconscious level. And all those little things along the way were just validating that. So it's been an amazing journey thus far and continues to be that.
Oh, that's great.
That is great. What an experience. At 15, I can't even imagine. Mm. And then being the only one in the group that spoke English.
Yeah.
Right. And not having fear about it. That I think that was, I got chills when you said, a voice said that, you know, you are home.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Even talking about it to this day has this energy behind it that is so, yes, yes, it's all part of the divine plan.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go off topic for just one quick second here. What was the biggest thing you were surprised by when you first got to the United States? If you remember.
Biggest thing. It's a good question. I felt like on a deeper level, I fit in better here.
Interesting.
Because my English was fairly good just coming in, the transition into school was probably easier for me than it might have been mm-hmm. if I didn't speak English. Right. I guess the biggest, you asked what was the biggest surprise, I guess. Yeah. And that was when I did get to school, I had left 9th grade and I was entering 10th grade and I had arrived in the summer. So it was right at the beginning of the school year. Mm-hmm. And my cousin had taken me to pick my courses for the next year. And that was my first, what do you mean, pick my courses? isn't the school going to tell me what I'm going to be studying? And she said, oh, no, here's a huge list. And you get to choose 5 courses. And I came from studying 11 the year before wow. in a school year. And was supposed to have 13 in 10th grade had I stayed in Romania. So choosing only 5 or having a choice
right,
was a complete culture shock. So that would be probably the biggest aha. And then starting school, recognizing that the material that I had learned in Romania was almost being spread out in 4 years worth of high school here.
Wow.
Versus what I had done there. So that also was a big aha for me. Like, oh, I did learn quite a bit in Romania and they're still working on that material now. So I think that might have been why I did well in high school and was able to get a scholarship to go to UMass was part of that learning that I had already come with and then added to while I was in high school here.
That's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. I just a little aside, I think I mentioned when we met with you in your office that my mother had spent some time in Moldova. And one of her big comments was that everybody is very well educated.
Correct.
Very advanced degrees, you know, the issue was that there wasn't a lot of work for these people. They were sort of educated beyond what the work environment needed. But yeah, she was very impressed with the education.
Yes. And what I'm recognizing now is that my search had been more about, is there more to just being highly educated in one's life that, because I would see educated people still having challenges with perhaps health issues or just the mundane living situation of everyday life, I would see challenges on both ends of the spectrum. Like whether you were coming from maybe a less educated family or opportunities to even the more educated ones, they still were dealing with that personal enjoyment or fulfillment or reason for getting up in the morning. And
right. Yeah. Purpose.
Purpose. That's it. Purpose. So I was curious about that. And somehow I think that has led me to where I am today.
So how did the movie Dirty Dancing, one of my wife's favorite movies, how did the movie Dirty Dancing affect the trajectory of your life?
Well, funny you should ask. I remember just about every line from that movie by heart. And I can't tell you the number of times I have seen the movie when it first came out in particular. And when Patrick Swayze had said that he had learned how to ballroom dance at an Arthur Murray studio, at that time I had no idea that Arthur Murray was a bona fide real dance studio in the United States and a franchise that taught that. So I remember driving down the street and seeing the sign that said Arthur Murray Dance Studio, and my heart jumped out of my chest like, oh my God, this is a real thing. And the excitement of, I still remember walking through the door and looking down the long hallway to couples dancing in the ballroom and just going, I want to be able to do that. I want to do it. It was a calling, and I can tell you this, all we ever need in life is to follow our desire, our heart's desire, and it manifests. I had nothing to my name. I had no money. I was 20, had left school in search of who am I and why am I here. And I made dancing happen in my life just by sheer desire and passion. It transformed my life in so many different ways. I can't even begin to count the ways.
Wow.
But it was my girlfriend that put up the money to take dance lessons, and I went with her and brought another partner so I would have somebody to dance with and let her have the time with her partner, with the teacher, so she would get the most out of the lessons. And that's how I got started. From there, I bugged the owner of the studio to let me be part of the next training class that he would be starting, whenever that was, and wouldn't let go. And until he did, I kept at it. And it started me on that path of becoming a dance instructor. I learned through dancing to find myself and to find my voice and to be able to meet people from all different walks of life with that common goal of enjoying life and finding the fun in their lives. And I was able to be an intricate part of that happening for them. And I think that's what allowed me to now be able to take all that knowledge and learning that I've had with dancing, learning how to move my body and recognizing that the energy that's traveling through my body is what animates me and puts that spark in someone's eye. And if you're looking at someone dancing and you enjoy how their being on the dance floor, a lot of it has to do with their own personality and how they beam out.
Right.
It's not just the technique, it's who you are that makes mm-hmm. the difference. And that's been such a valuable tool for me in my life to recognize how that works and to translate that into what I am focusing more now is invaluable to me.
Right. And that's such a good segue. I mean, so many good things that you said. I mean, first of all, I got goosebumps when you were saying, you know, all we need in life is to follow our heart's desire and it will manifest.
Right.
And you have been really a shining example of that. And then when you were talking about the energy is what animates you. And, you know, when you and I have talked in the past and when the three of us got together, I mean, a huge focus was talking about energy. So I think this is a good segue into Dr. Sue Morder's work. So if you would tell us a little bit about what Dr. Sue is teaching, why you gravitated towards it, and kind of how you have incorporated her teaching into your service offering now.
Sure. So in a nutshell, and it's part of the title of the book, The Energy Codes, that actually just came out yesterday. So it's an auspicious time.
Yes.
It is to awaken our spirit, to heal our body, and to live our best life. And that has been what I have searched for probably not just this lifetime, but perhaps even more than just that for me. The energy codes is the toolkit that allows me to recognize what am I feeling, what am I experiencing, what am I creating as my life experience from the inside out. And I know that in order for me to be able to teach anything, I have to feel it, I have to own it, I have to come from that place of this is who I am. It's not who I want to be, but who I am. And also recognizing that I'm still working on the pieces of who I have access to within myself as I'm teaching. So it's not that I have arrived or that I have all the information, because there's so many nooks and crannies within myself that I have yet to explore. And I'm using the tools in that exploration within myself. And in that way, I can share those with others who perhaps are also interested and curious in exploring, how do I awaken my spirit? What is that? What does it even mean? How do I heal my body? And how do I live my best life? How do I create the kind of life that I want to experience?
And seriously, who wouldn't want that?
Right? Yes.
Is there anything you can share? I know there's a lot in the book that's coming out. Is there anything you can share or any specific teaching that really resonated with you?
Absolutely. To start with, I think until we recognize that everything is energy, and that would be probably the first starting point. And for many, that might be such a big nut, so to speak, to crack and understand, bridging that science has already proven that, and spirituality has always worked and has come from that belief that we are energy, kind of meeting in that middle ground where we can understand, how is that possible? I mean, I feel myself as a physical structure, a physical being. I'm sitting in a physical chair and I hold a physical object in my hand. What do you mean it's all energy? How do we wrap our minds around that if our mind comes from that belief that, well, there is matter and then there is energy and they're two separate things? So I think the first part is sort of recognizing how is matter created. And if you look at quantum science, it has already been proven that matter is compressed energy and that it gets denser as it compresses. And in the densest form of energy, you have physical matter, and physical matter can be of different densities. Like, we can all agree that water, for example, is less dense than iron or a rock. And it has different qualities to it. We are made of different densities of structure. There is the blood and the fluids that are more water-based. And then there are the bones in our body that are more dense in matter than the other. So therefore, our own bodies operate at different frequencies, because energy is nothing more than different frequencies of energy. Compressed or arranged in different formats. So I think the first part is starting from there and understanding that we are energy. Even the matter of our bodies is made up of energy, and it has a frequency and it communicates through energy. And our purpose is to recognize that we are made of energy, therefore all the thoughts that we have, the experiences that we're finding ourselves in, everything is energy-based. And so it affects the matter that is within our physical body. So if we want to affect our physical body, in other words, if we're looking to heal the physical structure, we have to look at what kind of thoughts are we thinking. What kind of experiences are we gravitating towards, and what kind of frequencies are we finding ourselves into? For me, the biggest aha was that my mind was in charge, so to speak, of what I thought my reality was all about. So I was coming from the mental body, processing everything from the logical mind. And that too has a frequency. However, the rest of the body operates at a different frequency than what the mind frequency is. I had to let my mind rest a little bit and find a way to get into my body to even familiarize myself with what's happening in the rest of me, not just in my mind, in my logical mind. And the book takes someone step by step, or not just the book, but the energy codes take someone step by step from wherever they are. So I was more identified with my mind. Some people are more emotional. They might react emotionally to everything that's in their experience. And you'll even hear them say, oh, I cry at the drop of a hat, or if the wind blows that way, it affects me, you know. And so they're more in their bodies and working with that frequency. So the book can take someone, or the energy codes can take someone wherever they find themselves operating from, and connect the pieces between the mind, which is our conscious awareness, so to speak, of where we're at, our body, and our breath, which is what animates our body. Mm. That's our spirit bringing all of this to life in this physical body that we house ourselves in. And when we come together and we connect these pieces, the mind, the body, and the breath, we are accessing so many more resources that we have available to us than if we just operated from the mind, or just operated from the body, or just focused on our breath. It's all together. Mm. We have access. We create an opening, an opportunity to access more of our resources, all of our resources, in fact. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about people who have a real hard time getting their head around that everything is energy. I mean, I remember when I was first learning about a lot of this, it was hard for me. And you know, you think, I'm looking at my hand, looks pretty solid to me. Mm-hmm. But if it was magnified a million times, you'd see how much space is in between, and the illusion that it really is. So what I wanted to ask you is, if you have somebody who is a little bit skeptical of all this, would they still benefit from going to some type of healing session like this? Do they have to have that belief, or they can just show up and still it would be okay as long as the person working on them is doing what they need to do?
So it is definitely a body of work that allows someone, not just that it allows someone, you are perfect exactly as you are and where you're coming from. And recognizing that and allowing someone to be present with what is in their life is what this is all about. There's nothing wrong going on. Everything truly is for our own unfoldment. In other words, if someone wasn't curious, they would never find themselves in an energy healing session, right, or looking for this type of a book,
exactly,
or any type of a book. So in order for someone to even come through the door or put themselves in that situation, there is a yearning or a curiosity within them to explore more of who they are. Because ultimately, that's why we're here. I mean, everything that we do, even though we may not realize it at the conscious level, is truly to find out, who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Why was I born?
Right. Right. And thank you for that, because I think, you know, for Deb and I, we understand this and we get this, but it's interesting in talking recently to some of our listeners who are kind of newer to these types of teachings. I just want to make sure, and sometimes I'm playing devil's advocate, just
sure,
to kind of open the mind a little bit and have them, you know, because they're already a little curious, but they're still skeptical. So yeah, I think that was a perfect answer. Thank you.
In my life, it took me a little bit of time, quite a lot of time, to go from being so identified with, well, what I'm thinking is all that I am. And what made the difference, there was a sense in my heart, or I don't know where it came from, to be honest with you. But there was this sense inside of me that there was something greater than what met the eye. In other words, what the world was seeing of me was not all that there was to me. And I was curious to uncover that for myself. And it's, if one is skeptical, I guess the best way would be to just look at just what it is that you want to experience in your life next. Like what is something that you know would be possible for you, you just haven't figured out how to get there. And welcome the possibility of that revealing itself to you somehow, for you attracting that into your life and allowing for that experience to come to you. And it may come in the form of a book or a friend just saying something in a way that makes you kind of go, huh, I never thought of it that way, but that's interesting. Or one of the things that I found really interesting in my life, when I had a huge reaction to information that came into my awareness, I started to take note of that. In other words, if someone said, well, okay, so I remember reading something that said, if you follow this process and you do it in a month, it will change your life. And the reaction that my body had or my mind had to that little chapter, that phrase, was so vehement in me. I heard myself say, well, that's just ridiculous. Who would ever take 30 days and do that type of put that kind of an investment and that kind of a program? They don't know what they're talking about. It was the reaction in me was so strong that I've recognized since then that when I have strong reactions like that, if I put a little bit of time and distance and find out where in my body am I reacting and what is it provoking in me? Like, is it frustration, anger, dismay, whatever the feeling is, and just go and sit with that and kind of figure out, wow, that I wonder what in that, why, what, just kind of sit with that a little bit. Things start to, or ask good questions about what benefit is there in this information for me.
That's great advice.
Right. Because you were led to it for a reason.
Correct. Everything we're experiencing for a reason, and we often don't allow for that reason to show up, and then we find ourselves in another situation of a similar thing.
Yes, so true. So I have your brochure, and I've noticed you offer many different healing modalities at your practice, including something that's known as BEST, which I looked up and is bioenergetic synchronization technique. Can you talk about some of these different healing modalities and maybe some of the differences between them and why they're important and what is the benefit to someone looking for some of these things?
I'm so glad you asked that because I think it will tie everything nicely with the question that you had asked prior.
Okay.
And bioenergetic synchronization technique was developed by Dr. Sue Mortar's father, who was a chiropractor and also the president of two different chiropractic colleges in his time. And he wanted very much to understand what allows the body to heal itself and stay in that newfound ability or newfound health. And that was his life's work. And Dr. Sue Mortar grew up in that and took that and continues to build on that. And what it focuses on is very often our bodies are reacting to things that aren't presently happening. Like right now, as we're talking with one another, there may not be anything threatening to our system. Yet, if we, let's say, remembered an instance in our lives where perhaps we had some stress going through that process, an incident that happened, an event that happened, if we relive it, so to speak, in this moment, we can create the anxiety or the fear or it could be the other way around. It could be the joy, the happiness of that event just by recalling the event. Well, the body stores that in the cells, it stores that in the bones, it stores it in the system in the form of energy, and it doesn't always recognize that the event has come and gone, and you can now relax and heal and right. go into healing mode. And so it operates from this belief that you're still fighting the bear that was once in the room. And so these modalities of energy healing, and there are many different practitioners offering many different modalities, and they all are after the same thing, bringing balance or bringing integration to the body, where what is present in the moment is what you are experiencing. Very often, we might be fatigued or tired or stressed, even when we're trying to be on vacation and heal or relax or sleep. The body doesn't know how to shut off because it's operating from that place of I still have to be on guard. It's on guard. So these modalities help to upgrade the body, the subconscious mind and the conscious mind being on the same page as to what is truly going on. I mean, very often we hear, you need to be present in the moment.
Right.
Great. But if the subconscious mind or the body is operating from a stressful situation, it's not, it's, you're present with that moment of the stress versus the fact that you might be in a situation where right now your body could be healing itself because there is no attack or stress that's present in the room with you. So that's what these modalities help us do, is release and upgrade the subconscious mind and the conscious mind to be on the same page with what is now present. So healing can happen, and it does, and it's amazing how everything starts to shift when we're not carrying that memory, or not the memory. The memory remains, but it doesn't have the same hook or the same effect that it would have had it not been upgraded or integrated.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was talking to Deb earlier. I had just watched the documentary Emotion on Gaia, and it talked a lot about similar to what you're talking about, and you know, emotions getting trapped in the body and not allowing you to heal. And you know, Dr. Bradley Nelson, who does the Emotion Code, you know, talked a lot about how simply releasing some of these trapped emotions can solve a lot of your health problems. So, and I know you do a little bit of that, but it's just, it's fascinating how working with the mind, working with the emotions, working with the energy has such tangible results.
Absolutely. And the I love Dr. Bradley Nelson. I've used the Emotion Code and Body Code in the practice for the last 5 years, along with BEST and Psyche and neurolinguistics programming, just a lot of different modalities, and they all work hand in hand. And it is exactly like you're describing. When we look at the emotions that are trapped in the body and we recognize that they can stay trapped, and we come back to, and if we also add to that the recognition that we are energy. So going back to sort of the beginning where if we start to open up to the understanding that we are an energy being having a physical experience, having that, then we start to unlock possibilities within ourselves that open up more than what we would, just even if you think about physical structure, if you're coming from the belief, well, matter is matter and that's that, it's a very, it creates this belief, this box that you're operating from. And everything has to fit in this box of physicality if you're coming from that. So if we're locked in that, well, matter is matter and that's that, great. Okay. That will take you to, you can explore all of that to the nth degree and it will keep you within that box.
Right.
If you allow and look at quantum science, look at the science that has proven already. If you're skeptical, skip all of this and go into the quantum science and look at the research to understand, what do you mean that matter is energy? How is that possible?
Right.
Yeah.
Educate yourself in that. Open that door, because none of what we've talked about will really land for you until that bridge kind of starts to take place.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. And that's okay. That's a great place to start from. Got to bridge. You got to start from somewhere.
Right.
Right.
And bridging that understanding is how we open up to more possibility within ourselves.
Exactly. And I think it's really exciting that more bridges are showing up. So it there is one more than just one door to get here.
Absolutely.
So people are learning all different ways. I want to switch gears a little bit.
Sure.
For our listeners who don't know what colon hydrotherapy is, would you give a brief overview? And if you could, please share the story of when you went to Fiji for the Life Mastery Program and how colon hydrotherapy kind of factored into that experience.
My goodness. So I can tell you this, in my lifetime, I have been the most naive of people that you would ever meet. You know, coming from a foreign country, naive as can be. Started ballroom dancing, naive as can be. Doing this self-healing retreat, naive as can be. I walked in, didn't know what colon hydrotherapy was, didn't know. We were in a five-day retreat where we weren't eating solid food. We were doing a juice cleanse of omega 3, 6, and 9 oil and wheatgrass juice every day and almond milk that was freshly squeezed and a ton of water and water with greens added to it. Moving our bodies, doing trampoline jumping, which is called rebounding, which gets the lymph moving through the system. The amount of toxins that is released when you do a cleanse like this is so big that the elimination channels in our body, in our physical structure, has a hard time coping with. So unless you pee it and poop it and perspire it or exhale it,
right,
it's got to come from some orifice in some format.
Yep.
Or else it stays in the body if we're talking about the physical aspect of how our bodies work. And so colon hydrotherapy is the process of introducing water to the colon, because water is a great solvent and lubricant, and it allows all the toxins to have a vehicle to leave the body more voluminously, so to speak.
Yeah.
So So it in 5 days' time, I could even the first time I did my first session of colon hydrotherapy, with the water leaving my body, I could feel the cobwebs in my mind leaving and my focus clarity sharpening, and all kinds of sensations that were going on that felt so good, more energy coming into my system. And I went, wow, how come I didn't know about this before? And, you know, we come across things when we're ready for them. And I knew I had found something that would play an intricate part in my life. And I knew as soon as I got back, I would be looking for a place that offered that in Massachusetts. And when I couldn't find a center that had open systems, which is what I had experienced, I figured out, well, I gotta figure out what it would take to train into this modality, because if I want it, I know other people will want it. If it made that much of a difference in my life, anyone trying it anywhere else would probably also want it. So that's how I became a colon hydrotherapist. Everything in my life has been pretty much by experience. I've been curious enough that it's sort of one thing led to the other, and the awakenings. I can tell you this, Deb and Carol, and all the listeners out there. We have everything that we need inside of us. We really, really, truly do. And we bring ourselves to experiences in our lives in order for us to drop in and find the truth of who we are more deeply. And in looking back, I can see all the little divine breadcrumbs that have been there for me all along. And I know we have all experienced that in our own lives. If you take a moment and you just look back at those moments that you kind of went, oh, yeah, aha,
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, and I also think it's interesting that you were saying that you could be as you're very naive, but I think in your case, well, and I think in many cases, being naive can really equate to being open, because you don't have any preconceived notions. You're not shut down. And had you not been naive, things could have been very different for you.
Yes. Yes. And stubborn. Boy, oh boy, was I stubborn. Because my mental body just very curious and set in its ways, very much set in its ways. So it's taken me quite a little bit of time to just give myself a little bit of breathing room. And allow logic to kind of exist within me, but be more in service to my heart. Mm. And that makes the biggest difference. When we connect with our hearts more, it's the heart that generates love. And love is the frequency that is weaved into everything. We are made of it. It is what resonates through us, especially when we drop into our hearts and we feel love. It is what makes the biggest difference. And that has been the quest in my life. How do I understand the meaning of love? Not just mentally, because the mind isn't the generator of love. The mind is the interpreter. But it's in our hearts that we feel it. And when we come from that and we follow our hearts and our passions, it's amazing what an experience we can have and create for ourselves.
Oh, what a beautiful note to end on.
Yes, that was lovely.
This has been so fun. Deb and I talk about this stuff, you know, all day, every day if we could. And I never want these interviews to end because I really could go on for hours.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm so humbled by you asking to interview me. And if you would have asked me 20 years ago, would I even know this information or be working with this information, I would have laughed hysterically and said, I'm a ballroom dance teacher. What are you talking about?
Well, we are so glad that you kind of made this pivot. We're just so honored to have you on and share all your knowledge. And I'm really hoping for some of the listeners that are kind of on the fence or just kind of opening that door a little bit, that this helps them, you know, take some steps on their own journey.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree.
And if any of you want to contact Roxana, you can at the Body Balancing Center. Her website is bodybalancingcenter.com, and we'll include that information in the show notes as well. So anybody that wants to find out more about this, Roxana is located in Worcester, Mass. And I think you'll learn a lot and you'll feel better.
You feel lots better. Her energy is amazing.
Yes, I agree with that. It's just such a pleasure talking with you, Roxana.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much. And also, if someone just wants to do it in their own way, in their own time, and they're looking for a toolkit, the Energy Codes book is just that. It is a toolkit. And you get to pick and choose what tool you want to use, when you want to use it, how you want to integrate it or not. But at least it's available to you and it's so beautifully put together. If there was one book that I wanted to take with me on a desert island,
it would be that one.
This would be the one. This would be the
Perfect.
One.
Perfect.
Yes. So thank you so much and thank you for the both of you bringing this into the world and creating this space where not just us, the people that you're interviewing, the practitioners, but the community that you're creating and everyone that is listening in. I'm so grateful that you have said yes to that in your own lives, because I know sometimes that can be a big shift and a big change that can stir things up.
Yeah.
And I so honor that and admire that, and in any way that I can support it, I'm happy to do so. So thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So everybody, thank you for listening. As always, you can hear our podcasts on our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, as well as iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Thanks again, Roxana. It was so much fun. And everybody, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye, everybody.
My pleasure. Namaste.
Bye-bye.